Sunday marked the centennial of the worst peacetime maritime disaster in history. On this week's News and Views, we consider the sinking of Titanic and its effect on our lives today. On board the luxury liner were 2,224 people, a cross-section of humanity, from the wealthy elite in first class to second and third class passengers, among them emigrants hoping for a better life in America, and a crew drawn in large part from the slums around the docks in Southampton, England, like Henry Allen, a relative of Philadelphia area resident Howard Callender.
I guess he felt he was pretty lucky getting a job on the Titanic, this amazing new ship.
Great hopes dashed by terrible tragedy, followed by recriminations and accusations, all the stuff of Hollywood. But it's also a story that, for some, like Howard Callender, is personal.
So growing up, my grandmother had now and again mentioned an Uncle Henry who died on the Titanic. Henry Allen, he was a 32-year-old stoker.
I had heard about William Carter's escape. Uncle Billy, he was called.
Carter Leidy's grandmother's brother was William Carter, a first-class passenger traveling with his wife and two children. Also in first class were Charlotte Cardiza, a philanthropist from Germantown, who was traveling with her son Thomas. Mrs. Cardiza was a cousin of area resident Dave Linfoot.
She was my great-grandmother's cousin. They were bringing back many of their big-game hunting trophies from Africa and Hungary. When the Titanic went down, they collected into Lifeboat 3 and apparently took turns helping row the lifeboat.
On the next News and Views, first-hand accounts of events that night. You can hear this entire three-part series online at WRTI.org. I'm Susan Lewis, WRTI News.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.
100 years ago, the ship Titanic sank on its maiden transatlantic voyage. On this week's News and Views, we consider first-hand accounts of the tragedy. The 16 large wooden and 4 collapsible lifeboats were not enough to hold every person on board, but were also not expected to be necessary, even after the ship struck an iceberg, according to memoir of survivor Richard Norris Williams, a 21-year-old tennis player from Philadelphia's main line. Historical Society of Pennsylvania president Kim Sayet reads from Williams' account.
Her mere size gave us confidence. Even if the improbable happened and she did eventually sink, why, she would float for at least 12 or 15 hours. There was no use in worrying.
To pass the time, Williams and his father went to the gym and rode the stationary bikes. But later, when the two men went up to the main deck to talk to the captain,
I saw nothing but water with just a mast sticking out of it.
The Titanic was beginning its dive.
I yelled to my father, "Quick, jump." He started towards me just as I saw one of the 4 great funnels come crashing down on top of him.
William swam to a life raft and was among those rescued. 27-year-old Harry Widener was not so lucky, but may have had the same expectations that things would be all right. He and his father had also stayed behind after his mother and her maid got into a lifeboat. Family friend and book dealer, Dr. Abraham Rosenbach, a close confidant of Mrs. Widener, wrote a memoir about Harry in which he recounted the story of Harry's last conversation with his mother, about a rare book of essays by Francis Bacon he had bought on his travels. Rosenbach Museum librarian Elizabeth Fuller.
He reported that as the ship was sinking, Harry said to his mother, "I've put the book in my pocket. Little Bacon goes with me."
On the next News and Views, the aftermath of Titanic. You can hear this entire three-part series online at WRTI.org. I'm Susan Lewis, WRTI News.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.
The sinking of the Titanic in 1912 shocked communities on both sides of the Atlantic. On this week's News and Views, we look at how the disaster changed history. Howard Callender's relative was a member of the crew.
The city of Southampton was devastated. I mean, so many people who lived there died on the ship.
Writer Joseph Conrad railed about the sinking in essays, a couple of which are on display at the Rosenbach Museum, where librarian Elizabeth Fuller says he blasted the engineers and the company
for having built a ship that was too too large to manage.
Hearings were held in England and America. In the aftermath of the tragedy, changes were made to maritime procedures, among them a requirement of sufficient lifeboats. The Radio Act of 1912 required, among other things, that ship radio operators must be on duty 24 hours a day. But the Titanic's lessons go beyond the science and the law books. Carter Leidy, whose great-uncle William Carter survived the tragedy.
It was a terrible human loss and a terribly shocking and dramatic thing, which I feel very personally. And I think sometimes we get into situations where we have popular delusions about how far our technology can be relied upon. And I think for me, the main story of the Titanic is that.
Titanic, The Rise of Rosenbach, is at the Rosenbach Museum and Library through June 24th. The exhibition Titanic Philadelphians is at the Independent Seaport Museum through December 31st. An exhibition about the Titanic tragedy's impact on local families is at Widener University in Chester, Pennsylvania through May 14th. You can hear this entire three-part series online at WRTI.org. I'm Susan Lewis, WRTI News.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.